We turn to page 45 right away. Then we're going to go. Then we're going to go back to 38. So I'm telling that for my people who keep up with me, and I'm almost there. Number 45. I'm going to attempt to go slow, and that means I hope to take my time, and if I don't get done with all 74 slides, that's what I have, I'm still going to take my time. Muslims, Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons say the triune God stems back to a certain period in history. They insist that Orthodox Christianity, doctrine of the Trinity, is unbiblical and is a hangover from polytheism. If you don't know what poly means, it means three, or at least many, of Greek and Roman mythology. Is this true? Or is it a three-in-one God foundational to biblical faith, Christianity? I'm going to repeat myself again, probably at least two times. I want this to sink in, and I want you to think. The Muslims, Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons say the Trinity doctrine is a false doctrine. And they insist that Orthodox Christianity or doctrine or teaching is unbiblical and is a hangover from polytheism. And I said it already, poly means many, many gods of Greek and Roman mythology. It's a myth. We know where you got that doctrine from, Christianity. Is it true? Or is a belief in a three-in-one God foundational to biblical Christianity or faith? The above statements have been taken from, that's right, I've been doing research as a pastor should do. Can I get a witness? Amen. No one is supposed to stand before you in this place, at least, without doing like the Bereans. They searched the scriptures. They didn't take Paul's word for it or somebody else's. When he was in different places, I'll just say it this way. The Bereans, we don't believe you, Paul. Just because you're an anointed one, so-called, they search the scriptures, and that's what I would like, I endeavor for you to do today. But before that, I have some good news. Got this on the phone yesterday. I like to talk about good news. Praise the Lord. Scott and Kathy Wilson, whom you do not know, have a ministry to the lost and to those who are enslaved with all kinds of doctrine. They were at Montgomery County Church. That's not right. Montgomery County cells, where they have prison. And they presented the gospel. And I'm not at liberty to say this. Scott and Kathy Wilson were at the Montgomery County prison, and they presented the gospel. And I'm not at liberty to say this either, but I will say this. Several people, actually women this time, they came, and they were from Pottstown. And of course, I wouldn't dare tell you their names. So I want you to get this straight so you don't go out and talk about he told who they were, because I wouldn't dare do that. I'm going to say their names again. I'm going to say this. Scott and Kathy Wilson were at the Montgomery County Community, or I should say prison. Several people from Pottstown came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? And now they want to be disciples. They followed it up with not just getting saved or assumingly getting saved. They made a confession of faith. Of who? Brother Bruce? I don't hesitate to say whom they were presenting. And now they're going to be followed up. And I personally know these people. I know them. I grew up with them. And as I just said, they made a confession of faith. They, more than one, and they accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. And my heart jumped when I heard them say that. When I was on the phone with them, I was just so elated. And I'm going to say this. If you get saved today, did you know, not only those prisoners, but did you know there is rejoicing? I didn't say the angels. I said there is rejoicing among the angels when anyone comes to know Jesus. I'm going to keep myself just as slow as I can because I need to. We had a song up here, I Am a Friend of God. This morning, I want you to ask yourself, do you have a living, vibrant message of getting saved by the one and only real God? Can I get a witness? Amen. Do you have it?
Yep.
I'm glad to say, I'm sure that one person could say that here. And I'm going to bring up a scripture, which Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Here we go. Blotting out. This is what happens when you get saved. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was covertly or considerably or contrary, taken away, took it out of the way, nailing it. You'll get it, the last part. Nailing it to his cross. I'm going to say it again. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you and me and was contrary to you, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his. Say his. There's a certain his I'm talking about this morning. Not anyone. There was someone nailed on that cross, not because he had done anything, but because he was taking the weight of your sins and mine. and he canceled it, the blot that was against you. That's right. I'm going to say this, and I say it candidly, respectfully. If you're here today and you don't know who I'm about to talk about, you probably already guessed. I'm sure. I like that. I'm sure. There was a certain person who was nailed to the cross, not for his sake, but for your sake and mine. Can I get an amen?
Thank you,
and I thank God that he did it. Voluntarily did it. And I'm going to say these words, and they're not a part of the text. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. I lay it down. He laid it down. And as the text was just said, he nailed your sins. Oh, I'm a good guy. Without me hesitating, you may be a good citizen. You may be a good, noble citizen. But you still entirely need someone who told me this. I'm a good guy. It was a lady. Another was a man. I'm a good-hearted guy. God knows my name. He doesn't know your name personally unless you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You could think all you want, but I want you to reflect upon something. The heart is deceitful. You can deceive yourself. The heart is sinful and desperately wicked. That's who Christ died for. Not the good moral people who think they're so moral. People like me who know I'm in trouble. And if you don't think you need Jesus, you're in trouble. That's who I want to talk about this morning. Matthew 11:27. She has it on there. She will have it on there. I ask her to turn back to 38. All things are delivered unto me. I wonder who this me is. My Father. He calls him my Father. And I'm going to stop here and pray and say something to you individually. Can you call Jesus? I said that wrong. Can you call the Father your Father? Can you really call him Father? All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I'm going to reflect on that last part. You cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ unless he reveals it to you. It's not by natural intellect that you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have to put your trust in the finished work of him who is and was and who's coming, the great I am. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knows the Son. What? The omnipotent God, the omniscient God, meaning all know. You're the only one who knows the Son? fully? Neither does anyone know the Son but the Father. Are you telling me? No wonder they considered you for blasphemy. You're the only one who fully knows God. Jesus made that claim. Can I get a witness? Amen. He made that claim. Yeah. It's either true or false. I got it in another version. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son. The omniscient God who created everything in the universe. Amen. Not just in this world, Amen. In the universes.
Everything.
Everything. He's the only one who says, I can fully tell you that I know my Son. Amen. I know him. Only am God, all-knowing, can fully know the Son. Why is that? Because when you look into the pages of this book, he said, I have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He exclusively knows his Father. Can I get an amen? I'm going to say this, and I know why I'm saying it, and I don't know why I'm saying it. Some of you here today, you claim that you know the Father, but you don't know the Son. The Bible says you cannot possibly know God unless you run into someone who said, I am the way, the truth, not a truth, I am the truth. No one can come to the Father except he come through the Son. Let's go on to number 39. To reveal him. What a saying is this? The Father and the Son are mutually and exclusively known to each other. A higher claim to equality. Oh, there Brother Carter goes again. Equality. A higher claim to equality with the Father cannot be conceived, either than we have here one of the most revolting assumptions. Who do you think you are, Jesus? You say you know the Father, and you're the way to the Father? That's what he said. A higher claim to equality with the Father cannot be conceived, either than we have here a revolting assumption ever uttered. Or the proper divinity, or divinity as some people say, of Christ should be beyond dispute. Let me just put it in my words. You have here what was said by Jesus Christ to be absolutely a false prophet, or he's insane. Some people call him some other things. Number 40. But alas for me, may some burdened soul say, what hope is there for me then? What hope? If it be said this way, what can a poor creature do but lie down in passive submission? Oh, I'm too bad for him to save.
Nope.
There is no person living that the Son of God is not able to save. Can I get a witness? And the Bible claims he can save in Hebrews to the uttermost. And I always put it this way. He can save to the guttermost. Why is that? Because he indeed is the eternal Son of God, and he laid down his life for you and for me. Somebody said it. I know more than one could say it. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. You and me ought to be thanking the Lord every day that he did this in spite of my own sinfulness. He saved me. He reached down in my gutter sins, and they are many. And he nailed them, as you just read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He nailed them to the cross. And not only that, he passed them. He blotted out the transgressions. He blotted them out. And this is part of the text, but it's not part of this text. The Bible says he remembers them no more. Can you imagine God saying, I know his sins, but I'm going to remember him anymore. And another part of the Bible says he casts my sins behind his back. In other words, he doesn't see them anymore. He sees one who has on him the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But alas for me, may some burdened soul say as relief, Lord, I am tired of my remembering my sins. Come to Jesus. He'll put them behind you. He'll give you a new kind of life. Matter of fact, the Bible says, he can give you a brand new relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How about it? He puts them behind his back. He can't see them anymore. He sees somebody who's new in Jesus Christ. But nay, this testimony to the sovereign of the grace, gracious, I know I put words in there, gracious will, on which man's salvation depends, is designed but to reveal the source and enhance the glory of it when uttered or imparted. Not to paralyze you, not to say you're a lost cause forever and you can't be saved. The last sentence still tells it all on that page. Come to me. Well, who's he talking about? Number 41. Come to me. This is not the text. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy, and my yoke, and my refreshment, and find refreshment for your soul. I was talking to somebody, I'm not allowed, I wouldn't doubt call out somebody's name, but she had a new song in her heart when she found the living, omnipotent Savior. Can I get a witness? When she found him, there was a new song that was discovered maybe I shouldn't use the word discovered. When you find the Lord Jesus Christ, I took a look at the clock. When you find the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll put a new song in your heart. This word Pastor Jack and I have been talking about over and over, and I know I need to go strong. I said intentionally strong and slow. Perichoresis. I've been saying this over and over. I just can't get over it. It's a word that describes, do you know or do you not know? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding. Say abiding.
Abiding.
And I'm going to use this word because it's a biblical word, and it's translated kataoika. Abide. Did you know God the Father abides in his Son? When Jesus Christ died on that cross, his Father was there. And I know what you're going to say. It says, my God, why has thou forsaken me? I'm not talking about that context. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of my works. Okay, you think I'm just a man. Okay, I open the eyes of the blind. I turn water into wine. But more than that, I want to make, I'm talking about what Jesus said. I want to make my abode, my resting place in your soul. Can I get a witness? The Son of the living God wants to make his abode in you and me and keep on. Once you know Jesus Christ, he begin. If you want to really understand who he is, he keeps on revealing himself. And he wants to have not just a relationship, but a living relationship. Perichoresis. Don't you know? Or don't you believe that I am in the Father? He claims that he's in the Father. What a revolting statement for anyone to say, I am in the Father and the Father's in me and he abides in me. Number 42. What about the Holy Spirit? What about him? I know I should go slow now. What about the Holy Spirit? I could have said more and more scriptures about Jesus, but time doesn't permit. But I want to say this. What about the Holy Spirit? How's he come into this? Searching in regard to what or what matter of time, the Spirit of Christ. Did you know the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit? That was in them, was manifesting, testifying beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory after this. Let me give you number two, or the middle. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I have known that this shall fall out to my salvation through my sufferings, or I should have said my supplications, and the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And you, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I will say something. That word flesh in this context means you're not saved. It doesn't mean this. Can I get a witness?
It doesn't mean the body.
Thank you, brother. You are not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, wait a minute, we just said the Spirit of Christ, and now it turns to the Spirit of God. Can I get a witness? Do you see the connection? The Spirit of God dwells in you. If you're a Christian, whether you're a new or older Christian or senior citizen, if Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit's there. And he's there to lead and guide you and me. Paul suffered a lot. But through it all, and through your walk, talk, trouble, God's with you. Can I get a witness? He's with you, and he wants you to call on him. Lord, I can't do this unless you help me. I need help.
Amen.
You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want you to get the last part. And if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, there you go again, Brother Bruce. You went from the Spirit of Christ to the Spirit of God. And now it's the Spirit of Christ. Why are you talking like that? You're talking gibberish. I'm talking what the Bible says. I'm not talking about what Bruce Carter says or anybody else says. I'm saying what the Bible says. If you don't believe in the inerrant word of the Bible, I doubt if you're saved. What do you believe in? Well, I believe in what I say. You're lost. You believe what you believe, and that's the standard. I thought the Word of God was the standard. And the Bible says all Scripture is inspired. And that Greek word inspired means God breathed out his word to the prophets. He breathed them out and he put exactly what he wanted them to say. They didn't do this by their own cognition. They were inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is God breathed. He breathed on them. What are you taking in? Are you taking in the world? They got a lot for you. And it's all a broken record, which can only lead to your destruction. They got something in store for you. But in the end, they sit, this is for me. I can put it this way. They sit back and laugh. I don't want to say this word. That's why I'm hesitating. Rather than trust in the Lord, rather than read your Bible, you have chosen horoscopes and future, all that future stuff, but you won't read the Bible. Number 43, if I don't get done with this message, and I probably won't, I'm still not going to rush. The fact of the intimate reunion, I said reunion, should be union, communion, and inhabitation of the persons of the Trinity is reason why everywhere in Scripture. I'm going to say it again before I get to the rest of this. Say Scripture. Do you believe in the Bible and in its inerrant word to save your soul? And instinctively, by all Christians, God is God as manifested in the person. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to go home and look it up. I'm not even going to turn to it, but I'm going to tell you where it is. Hebrews chapter, this is part of Pastor Jack's sermon for future. Did you know? I want to go slow. I'm going to repeat it again. Did you know in Hebrews chapter 1, so you don't have to go far, Hebrews chapter 1, God the Father calls his own son God. Can I get a witness? Oh, I didn't get many amens on that. Maybe you didn't read it yet, but I'm going to put it down so you can go home and call me a liar. Hebrews chapter 1, so you don't have to go any further. God calls his own son God. Now some people try to water it down in another translation and try to say, God is thy throne. That is so ridiculous. Thy throne, O God. You didn't know that, did you? I knew it for a long time. And when I saw it again and again, and Pastor Jack brought it up again, I said, oh my goodness, the Lord God calls his own son God. Can I get a witness? I'm going to tell you something. The person who died on that cross was God the Son. Thank you, brother. Say that again, verses 8 through 10. You go home and look it up. An angel didn't die for your sins. An unknowing man didn't die for your sins. But him who was and is coming again. He's the one who died for your sins. And he said it like this. Let me slow down. I can feel myself speeding up. Can I get a witness? It's okay to speed up for Christ. Amen. You speed up for other things. You speed up for a football game. You speed up for World Series. How about speeding up for the Lord? Jesus. In him dwells at home. That's the literal Greek. In him dwells all. Say all. And the Greek word is panta. All the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily. Number 44. But what about you and me? You're talking this stuff about this certain person. What about me? What's that got to do with me? It's got a lot to do with you. I'm just going to name a few. This is on number 44. In whom also are you builded together for a habitation? Say habitation.
Habitation.
Of God in the Spirit. Did you realize as a Christian, God wants to make himself a habitation? In other words, you want to sit down and enjoy him. What's that the antithesis to? You're out in the world, Christian. You're still drinking and doing everything you can, like the world. And God, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he left. Amen. He's still there. Amen. In whom God witted, not God would God will to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. Did you notice in the first verse, Ephesians 2:22, it said God. In this verse, it says Christ. Where is it? In you. I'm going to brag a little bit. I am so glad that every time I fell short of the glory of God, he didn't leave me. Amen. And he doesn't leave you. But that doesn't give you an excuse to do anything you can in the world. Here's how Paul puts it, Romans chapter 6. Well, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I know the translations say, may it never be, and it should. May it never be. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? You're a temple. What's that mean? That's what it says. You're a temple of God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get a witness? Amen. He's there. I could put this in a common vernacular. I said it before. He's not leaving.
He takes up residence.
I'm going to say it again just like somebody said just now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Number 45. I can't move my hands right. I said I was going to repeat it. And I'm going to say this. I don't care who likes it or who don't like it. You better watch who you listen to. Amen. You better say, where's that found in the scripture?
Amen.
You just can't help me. Don't give me a row of bees. Tell me in the scripture where it's found. Well, I think, your thinking's worth nothing. It's the Bible who is our guide, not your thinking. I don't care if you're Socrates. He was a long time ago, and he was a wise man. I don't care if you're Aristotle. He was a wise thinker. I don't care if you have an IQ of 320. I know that's ridiculous. Is that in the Bible? Show me. In context. Muslims, Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they insist that this doctrine is false because it's taken. I'm making a summary of this. Polytheism and Greek-Roman mythology. What do you think? I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Who? Some say I'm Elijah. Some say I'm a prophet. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say? And I'm not ending. I said it before. Unless you believe that I am, you, talking to people of this day, you shall die in your sins. Can I get a witness? I'm going to tell you right now, it's a poisonous thing. I said poisonous, I meant to say it. It's a poisonous thing. It's a deadly thing to die in your own sins. And this is for Christians. It's a deadly thing for you, Christian, and that includes me, to not die in your sins, but live a sinful life. Can I get a witness? Amen. It's a sinful thing. You're putting a disgrace on Christ. And he's going to do something about it because you're one of his children. Judgment seat of God, judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to turn to it. We, including this fellow who's up here speaking, we're all of us. You're not going to be able to hide. You're not going to be able to say, it's just not my fault. You're not going to be able to have all these excuses. And some of them are legitimate. God the Son, according to John chapter 2, I'm not going to turn to it, he actually can read your heart. Can I get a witness? Amen. He can read at the judgment seat of Christ. You and I are going to stand there and you're going to give an account of what you did after you got saved. Notice I said after you got saved. I didn't say you were lost. I said you got saved. I'm going to use this metaphor again. When you got saved, he declares that he takes away your sins from the east to the west. Can I get a witness? Another, they're all gone. Finally, I'm on 46 to 47. Finally, let's return to the tri-personality. Genesis. Let us, say us.
Us.
Us is more than one. Who was he talking to? Let us make man in our, us. Our image. You and I were made in the image of God, but we fell. But we have somebody who stood before the Father who didn't fall. This is not in the text, but it's biblical. My Savior. Say my Savior.
My Savior.
Your Savior. My Savior. Sweated blood. And science has shown that there is such a place, there is such a turmoil that you can actually sweat blood. I'm not going to go into that any further because it was a horrible, horrible death. And yet Jesus chose to go through it. Why did he do that? For God so loved you that he was willing. Amen. Finally, let's return to the tri-personality of God. And I'm going to say it again, and I hope you go look it up. Let us make man in our image. I'm repeating myself. Let us make man in our image. they loved each other before the time began. I'm going to say this again. If you want to look it up, please do. I'm not going to turn to it because I could run out of time. Did you know creation is in time? God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit are timeless. Can I get a witness? They are outside of time. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 1 says that they created time. I shouldn't say they. I could say he. You could look at it. I would like you to look the stuff up. Look it up. The Bible says that time was created by the eternal Son of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. Look at John. Why does John say the same thing? In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God by nature. I don't want you to be confused. Jesus Christ is, I'm saying this again and again, Jesus Christ is not God the Father. He's the eternal Son of God. Indeed, He's God the Son. And I'm going to say this again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. Say with. Other translations trying to bring about the meaning of the word with. It's like He had a relationship before the world began. Except unless you believe. In me, you shall die in your sins. I don't care. When I die, it's over. Here I go, Tom. Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's a fearful thing. It's a horrible, some translations say, terrible thing. Why is it terrible? There's a terror waiting everyone who's lost. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the God who created you and me. He's given you and me, that's right, me too, chance after chance. But you just, your heart is so deadened that you don't even know you're lost. And who has to do that? The Holy Spirit. Don't you know you have to be awakened to the Holy Spirit's leading you? Can I get a witness? He points to the Holy One of Israel. The Carter, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go out of this place. I'm going to do anything I want. Just don't forget, you and I are going to be at the great white throne judgment of the lost, of the judgment seat of Christ. In the beginning, number 48, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, say all things. Every possible atom, molecule, whatever it was made by this so-called Son. And when I say so-called, I don't mean that disrespectful. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that had been made. Well, what about the Spirit? Number 49. You send forth your spirit. They are created. And you renew the face of the ground. Say renewed.
Renewed.
I had the note. I don't have it up here. I put it in another note, but I know it says this. You renew the face of the ground. When you got saved, God made you a brand new creature. He made you brand new. It's not a wash job. He made you brand new. Matter of fact, another word for renewed is building it up. What he's doing, Christian, is building you up. He's building me up. You might be going through some kind of trial or something, but he's building up your faith. He's telling you and me, don't give up, don't give in, don't turn around, don't turn backward. You renew the face of the ground. As I said, that word renewed is actually, it could be called renewed or rebuilded. He's building you up. Don't stay where you are. Keep on doing what you're doing. Some of you are going out knocking, not knocking on doors. You're up and down the street witnessing for Jesus. Can I get a witness? Some people have a song. They gave me songs about how beautiful you are. They're putting a song in your heart. There's all kinds of testimonies to Jesus Christ. Got a lot more things to say. I can't believe I'm almost out of time already. And I'm only on page 50. From the first, he was the Word. And the Word was in relation, there it is, with God. And I said it before, say relation. I'm going to say it again. I know a Christian, I wouldn't dare put him out. He's one of my brothers in Christ. He was telling somebody, well, you got a relationship with Christ, but do you have fellowship? That's what every Christian should have. You got a relationship. He still loves you, but do you have fellowship? That's a step up. Relationship, fellowship. Verse 2, this word was from the first in relationship with God. Prost. All things came into existence through him. All things, not all other things, all things. Number 51, I am, say I am. Yeah, I know you heard me say it before. Before Abraham existed, I am. Not I will be, which is true, but I am. I am the giver of light and the maker of dark, causing blessing and sending troubles. Say troubles. Christian, did you know God can cause trouble in your life?
Amen.
Everything's not peaches and cream. God can send forth trouble in your life to straighten you and me out. And sometimes, oftentimes, I'm talking about me. We got to be straightened out. God sees you going off in this direction and that direction. He said, I got to straighten that brother out. Can I get a witness? I got to send trouble in his life. I got him to know that he's not in charge. I'm in charge. I am the Lord who does all these things. I am the Lord. Yes, John, I'm going to be 5 minutes late this time. That's all.
Okay.
Just five. He, John the Baptist, came for to be a witness, to give witness about that light, so that all men, say all men.
Amen.
God has given mankind plenty of chances to come to know him.
Amen.
But what do? And I do. You suppressed him. Have faith in him. Yesterday, Pastor Jack gave a very good message on this podium. It was a short message. And this is a good metaphor, and I'm going to stop. I know I should stop. He said, you're sitting in that chair. Did you have to examine it? Go under and look at all the bolts and everything? No. You trusted that that chair was going to hold you. Can I get a witness? And that's the same way you got to trust his son. His son did it all. Did you trust him? He, that is John the Baptist, came for a witness, to give witness about that light, so that all men might have faith in him, in John. No, he pointed to the Son of God. He, John himself, was not that light. He was sent to give a witness. Say witness. I hope you get convicted. If you're not doing anything for Jesus Christ, he wants you to be a witness. Don't you dare sit back on your little, well, I'm saved and everything is good. Everything is good as part of your salvation. But what about talking about Jesus? How about it? How about saying your grace before in the prayer? How about it? How about talking about him once? How about singing about him like I plan to do in the notes, but I can't do it now. I said I was going to end, and I am. Colossians 2:9. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you and me, which was contrary to you, took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross.
It is finished.
I'm hesitating because I just want to say one last thing. If you don't, Jesus is talking. I'm getting down, Pastor. If you don't believe, as some translations add, I am he, that's not in there. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe that I am, you shall die in your sins.
Amen.
Can I get a witness? Let's give him a hand.